My name is Helen Fader, and I was born in Long Island, New York, a little town called Manorville. And whereas you think of Long Island as being very populated with lots of houses, Manorville was more like country with potato fields and strawberry fields and all sorts of things like that. And there was three houses in a row owned by my maternal grandmother, who was Grandma Penzick, and she had those houses, and she had given them the use of them to her son and two daughters, one of them being my mother. And that's where I spent my early years. And by the time it was time for me to go to school, we moved to Southampton, and which was further towards out towards the end of the island. And we were there for, for several years, because we wanted to move back, and the people who had rented our house were moving out. And I finished grade school in Manorville in a three-room school. You had grades 1 and 2 in one room, 3 and 4 in the next, and 5 and 6 in the biggest room, which doubled as an auditorium, because Manorville was a pretty small town. Small and country-like. And then we were bused to junior high in a town called Center Mariches, and they had a wonderful music teacher, and his name was Mr. Osborne. And I started my music experience playing the clarinet, and I had a lot of fun. I won the competitions to go to the All-State and took music theory. He gave wonderful courses on that. And I had a clarinet quartet that also we performed in the music festivals. And also I had fun in the fire department, because the fire department had a band. And the fire department bands and the firemen would travel to different towns, and they would have a parade with all the bands from the different towns, you know, on Long Island, and all the firemen would have competitions about who could, you know, get up the ladder the fastest and hook up their hoses and get them running the fastest, and the ones with the best time would receive a trophy. And let's see, after high school, I went to Fredonia, the state college in Fredonia, and it was mostly for music, and I wanted to be a clarinet player, but I really did not have the practice ethic, because I never did practice in high school, and I ended up dropping out after 2 years, and I went back to Long Island and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And a friend was going to the county school for police science, and so I figure, what the heck, I thought investigating maybe crooked cops would be nice. But that lasted only a year. And I had been getting chiropractic adjustments for many years. My chiropractor's name was Joe Murphy, and he was my father's best friend. Joe had been working in the highway department where my father worked for about 7 years, so saving up money to set up his office, and they became best friends there, and we got all our adjustments for free, and it was very nice. And Joe would give chiropractic lectures every week, and Marie and I would go to everyone, and it was chiropractic philosophy lectures. And there were ones, that different chiropractors held them all over the state, and we'd all pile in the car and go to these chiropractic philosophy lectures. And then there was one in Atlanta, Georgia, called DE. It stands for Dynamic Essential. And the chiropractors would gather there and give talks on chiropractic philosophy, and they would relate it to their practice, and it was they had a lot of dynamic speakers down there, and it was called the chiropractic that they would speak on, and that everyone was into was called straight chiropractic, because they didn't mix it with medicine with the way some chiropractors do. And so they opened up a straight school in South Carolina, and so I figured that's where I wanted to go. And my chiropractor's daughter, Marilyn, and I, who are best friends, we traveled down there to the straight school in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And then after I graduated, I traveled around to a few states to take the boards to get a license, and so I got one in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Colorado. And Marilyn was coming to Michigan to practice, and so I figured I'd go with her. Practice here for about 8 years. And one of the things that I did was I was introduced to metaphysics, is that I was introduced to someone who went to a class in this lady's house, and you have to read Cosmo Conception first, but it was a really good metaphysical book, and this person, he would lecture, and then he would channel someone who would continue the lecture, and then I would set up my portable chiropractic table, and everyone would line up to get their adjustments, and that was sort of nice. And I think through there, no, it wasn't through there, but I met someone who went to the, who was just discovering the Summit Lighthouse. They had Monday night lectures, and I went to every Monday night lecture for a long time, and when Marie came out, she went with me, and we became Keepers of the Flame. And the Summit Lighthouse, of course, they had a building there. And being a Keeper of the Flame, when it came time to move on, we got a building on Hilton Street, right the street where I lived on. And we had that for a good number of years. And when David came out with his 33 heart streams, everyone read the heart streams and agreed that David was our next messenger. And so we cut our ties to Church Universal and Triumphant. And when we did, they came out there to take back everything that they thought was theirs. Because when they first started the Summit Lighthouse, it was before I discovered it, that they had helped them start up. And so they figured that there were certain things that were theirs, all the pictures on the walls and altar things, and they took those back. But we had all sorts of things that we found to replace it, and we continued on as the Heart Center of Detroit. And then after a time, some people, they moved away, some people dropped out, and Tom, he always did the AV, and I just decreed, but then he moved away. And he dropped off all the broadcast equipment at our house. And that's when we became broadcasters. And I know those first few broadcasts were quite something else, because I really, really didn't know what to do or what buttons to push. But we got used to it.
And we're so glad you did, Helen.
And here we are, and that's my story.
Thank you.
And Helen, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how is Detroit doing right now? I'm thinking that maybe with all the prayers and the broadcasts you have been doing from Detroit, that there might be some turning around. We know Detroit was rather hit hard economically when all the car companies pulled out, etc. How is it doing now? And can you see if there's been some blessings, and maybe because of your prayers?
I center myself on my broadcasts and things that I'm afraid I don't pay attention. I don't see the news or anything like that. Marie, have you?
I think there has been improvement.
Reese says there has been improvement. But did you see economically, perhaps?
Yes, a little, and mostly the weather.
Oh, she says mostly the weather here has improved greatly.
It's been improved greatly. It's amazing.
Wonderful. And one more question before we go, and that is about how the Heart Center has helped you along your spiritual path. It sounds like it's definitely helped the elementals in your area. Is there anything you can say spiritually uplifting that the Heart Center has helped you achieve or become?
Yes, the Heart Center has, especially being able to serve, it has, I think it has lifted me up. It has lifted me up spiritually, but lifted me up like emotionally. And so that I can see more of a bright future for this city and this world because of the work we do and because of what the Heart Center is and what it does.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being our Heart Friend interviewee. We are grateful to hear about your life and to share in your joys. Thank you, Helen.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye. See you another time.
Okay, bye-bye.